The British government has unveiled sweeping reforms to its asylum policy, making it far easier to deport people who enter the country illegally. Home Secretary Shabana Mahmood has outlined plans to tighten the use of human rights laws in migration cases. Refugees will also be placed on temporary protection visas for up to 20 years before they can seek permanent residency. Prime Minister Keir Starmer says the tougher rules are needed to speed up removals as the government comes under mounting pressure over boat arrivals and public concern over immigration. Peter Walsh is a senior researcher and departmental lecturer in migration studies at the Migration Observatory of the University of Oxford. Peter, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Thank you very much indeed for having me.
How significant are these reforms?
Well, these are very significant restrictions of the asylum system, certainly compared to most restrictions of that system that we've seen over the last 20 years. The big change, I think, is the end of permanent protection for refugees in the UK. As things currently stand, if a person comes to the UK, even if on a small boat, claims asylum and has that claim approved, they get 5 years permission to stay, after which they can apply free of charge for permanent residence. So that essentially means that they will be in the UK permanently. That is going to be no more if these proposals come into force, and people will instead get a 2.5 year temporary protection status, which will be reviewed after 2.5 years to see if it's safe to return the individual to their country of origin. If it is safe, then the government will try to remove them. So these are substantial reforms.
Peter, how would you describe the political pressure which has been placed on the UK government over asylum seekers and the way in which the government has taken that on board?
The substantial pressure, you know, when it comes to simple numbers, we're getting tens of thousands of small boat arrivals now each year. Of course, that's just a small share of total immigration, which is legal. But what we've had in the UK now over successive governments is an emphasis on control of the border. And of course, these are highly visible boat arrivals that demonstrate really a lack of control. They are by definition unauthorised. So we can understand why this issue is so divisive and why there's so much public opposition to this phenomenon.
Do the numbers match the public mood that we're seeing in the protests on immigration?
Difficult to say. What we know is that they are a very controversial issue. I mean, in numerical terms, yes, they make up only a small share of total immigration to the UK, the large majority of which is lawful, but they are a sign of a lack of control and they are very controversial. Also led to some interesting knock-on effects, which is a big increase in the asylum backlog. Almost all small boat arrivals claim asylum on arrival, and that's led to individuals being housed in hotels. And we've seen the hotels really become a flashpoint for political protests. So a very difficult issue indeed. The government really trying to grasp the nettle here with some quite tough restrictions.
How does this fit into the bigger picture post-Brexit? And also we know that voters have been moving away from the two major parties, the Conservatives and Labour, and we've seen increases to the left and right and the rise of parties like Reform.
Yeah, well, in a sense, we see history repeating itself. In the pre-Brexit period, you know, leading up to the vote in 2016, we saw the rise of the UK Independence Party, its central policy, really, restrictions of the asylum system. And then we had the Brexit vote, and in general, attitudes towards immigration softened. But all of that softening now has been undone by the past few years. We've seen record immigration, in some years over 1 million, and increasing numbers of small boat arrivals. And that's really given oxygen to the emergence of Reform, also led by Nigel Farage, just like UKIP, which is really campaigning on an anti-immigration policy.
So the changes that the UK government has announced, will they work? Is it likely that they will deter asylum seekers?
That's the big question. These are deterrence policies, and it is very difficult to predict how such policies would affect asylum seekers' decision-making to come to the UK. There is one challenge, which is that the evidence shows asylum seekers are often not fully aware of the policies that are in place. Many other factors, of course, affect their decision to come to the UK, presence of family members, the community, English language and so on. But there is some evidence that suggests asylum seekers do value stable resident statuses. That's under fire here. And that they also do value the ability to be reunited with family members. And that's a route that's also being restricted under these proposals.
People do have a right to seek asylum. How do these changes that are being put forward by the UK government, how do they sit with international law?
They do not contravene the Refugee Convention. And actually, this is an interesting point of contrast with the previous government, which actually introduced even more radical proposals that said, look, if you arrive on a small boat, you'll never get legal residence in the UK and we'll deport you to Rwanda. Of course, one of the challenges with very radical proposals like that is they are more difficult to implement, and ultimately legal challenges stalled that policy and it never went online. By contrast, this does seem more implementable. Yes, of course, there could be legal challenges, but remember, Denmark implemented very similar policies. It's subject to the same international legal agreements as us on human rights, namely the European Convention on Human Rights, and they were able to implement the policies. So I wouldn't be too surprised if we see something similar happen in the UK.
Why is the UK still seen as such a favourable destination compared to the rest of Europe? If people have come from Afghanistan, Africa, Middle East or elsewhere, why do they want to get to the UK?
Yeah, it is true. So it actually looks like the UK is growing in popularity as a destination. About a decade ago, 3% of claims in Europe were in the UK. Now it's closer to 10%. A range of reasons. It's difficult to unpick them all. Of course, the English language remains a draw. We know that existing communities in the UK are also a draw. As they get bigger, more migrants arrive. And there's also potentially what we might call a Brexit effect, which is when the UK was a part of the EU, it was also a part of a system called the Dublin system that allowed us to transfer asylum seekers back to the bloc. Now, we're no longer a part of that after Brexit. And that has meant that individuals can claim asylum in the EU, be refused, and they understand that if they can only get to the UK, they in effect have another bite at the cherry. The UK won't be able to remove them and they get another chance at status in the UK.
Peter Walsh, interesting to talk to you this morning. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.